What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over sin and the devil. Today, we are talking about the good wife again, and this is the third part, the last part, as we discuss what a good wife is. And today, we're talking about the virtuous wife or the noble character of a woman. And this is found in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation simply because it just read clearer and better. And so that's what I'm going to be coming from. This is what every woman, a woman of God and a wife should aspire to be. You know, this is what the scriptures are giving us a rundown how it should be. It's not to say that you're there and that if you're not there, somehow you're in sin, you're going to hell or anything like that. That's not what's being said. It's saying this is what you should be aspiring to get to. And I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, a woman is able to get to this place. But here we are given a blueprint of what a good woman or a noble wife looks like. Right. So let's just get into the scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. It says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect the field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all," says the husband. "Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise." So there you have it. We're going to go over some of these points here. So verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies." So he's saying that it's very difficult, or who can find her? You know, this is something that's rare. It says she is more precious than rubies. So this is a hard to find woman. Not a lot of women are on this level of noble character. All right. This is not a perfect woman. Nobody says she was perfect. It just says that of noble character. There's not a lot of noble women, you know. But of course, you can be one. I believe a lot of women in this last day, with the power of the Holy Spirit, just like a man of God, they can have these noble characteristics. This is what God's Holy Spirit is for, right? So, but it just says, you know, outright that who can find a noble and virtuous woman, all right? It goes on to say in verse 12, it says, "She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life." So this is a woman who does not bring harm to her husband. She doesn't bring things to him that would cause him to be upset, frustrated, to harm him or anything like that. She's not an abusive wife. She's not a narcissistic wife. She's not a woman who nags. She's not a woman that causes frustration and misery to her husband. All right. She brings him good. So, you know, this connects to another scripture I read in Proverbs. He said, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. Now, how many men have received favor from the Lord after getting married? You know, see, people say that that's just the way it is, or when you get married, you're going to have favor. That's not the case, because every woman is not a wife. Well, she's not a good wife, I would say. So if your life goes down because you got married, that's not a good wife. You know, your life actually as a man, if you get a good wife, your life goes up. You know, there's things that enhance in your life. Things go up. And rarely does that happen because the woman is not a noble woman. She has some flaws. She got some issues. And unfortunately, in a gynocentric society, most men's lives pretty much go downhill when they get married. All right. Unless he picked a real good one. Like I said, there are noble women that add value to a man's life. If he knew the rules, if he knew his own value, if he knew what a woman was, you know, and he didn't succumb to the deception of the society and make the woman his god or pedestalize her or, you know, follow her, then he would probably be okay. And his life would probably be his life would probably be enhanced by her, you know. And so I would say for all men going forward, if you're single or if you're about to get a new wife, that you make sure your women add value, that they're adding value. Even when you're dating them, even when you're courting them, they should be adding value. If your life is going down when you're dealing with them, so you got all these struggles and stuff, that's not a good wife. Simple as that. But if you see that while you're dating her, while you're courting her, that your life is just being improved, she's bringing value to you, that's what a good wife is. That's what a virtuous woman brings to the table. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And it's consistent. All right. Number 15, verse 15 here says she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her husband and plan a day's work for her servant girls. All right. So this kind of speaks to the prosperity of the man and the woman. I mean, because you got a good woman, it leads to you prospering as a man. And that means you end up having servant girls, you know, so you got all this wealth. You got people to manage it now. So that can speak to that as well. But it says here she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her husband. So this is a woman who understands that she has a domestic duty. All right. Women don't just, because a man is rich and everything, she don't just stop providing those services. That's what a woman is built for. That's her base. And we talked about that in Good Wife Part 1. Basic domestic services. So even though she's rich, all right, she got maid servants, she still is getting up and preparing food. And she's preparing food not only for her household, but for her maid servants. All right. Her servant girls, as it says here. So this is a diligent working woman who gets up and does her job. All right. Verse 16, it says she goes to inspect the field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So she's in business. All right. She understands business. She's been taught well by her husband how to pick out land. And she is now duplicating that knowledge and going out with him. And it says that he can trust her. You know, in verse 11, I didn't read that. I skipped over that. But verse 11, it says her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. So she's going out here and he can trust her to, if he gives her some money, if he gives her something to trade, she will do the right thing. You know, this is a woman who thinks well, who listens to instruction from her husband and learns how to be the best wife she can be and to operate the best she can. Remember when I talked about one of the attributes of the holy woman is to be good, and good with meaning excellent, good at what you do. So she perfected how to, you know, being a businesswoman and doing the things that finding the right properties or whatever she's in business in to get the best results from. Okay. He says she goes to inspect the field and buys it. With the earnings, she plants a vineyard. So she's creating things that's going to bring back a greater return on the investment. You see that? She's creating things that create more wealth. All right. She gets a vineyard. Of course, they're probably going to sell some of that stuff, you know, have grapes. She's going to sell wine, all kind of stuff. You know, this is a woman that is virtuous. She's bringing not only domestic, but also finances into the mix. That's why we talked about this in the first part, that a woman not only can help in domestic, but she can also help in business. See, men, when you get a wife, she ain't always got to be just for domestic purposes. She can be in business. She can be taught. If she already brings those skills, that's great. And that's how men should be thinking when they deal with a woman. See, it's important, men, to study these scriptures, because this is how you ought to be dealing with women. They ought to be bringing value. Unfortunately, A lot of men are just pretty much told that the woman's the prize, and they basically spend the rest of their life taking care of her, providing for her. She brings no real income in. You spend all your money on her. You spend your money to please her. You're taking care of her. She's just like a big kid at this point. You know, a big old child, not doing anything in the house, not bringing any value to the relationship. Not in business to increase your profits as a man, you know, barely doing domestic work. You know, this is the case of men in the gynocentric society. Why? Because they don't know their rule. They don't know their rights as a man. And they've been deceived. And the women, of course, they've been deceived into believing that they're supposed to just sit back and let a man take care of them. Continuing on here, it says that she is energetic and strong and a hard worker. This woman ain't lazy. The gynocentric woman today is pretty lazy. She's all about what that man gonna do for me. You know, I'm not getting you no food. I'm not washing your clothes. You wash your own clothes. You need to get your own food. Well, lady, why are you here then if you can't help me? You know, I mean, we talked about this. Why was the woman created? To help the man. All right. Wouldn't it be helpful if he just didn't have to wash his own clothes and clean up the dishes and cook his own food? Like, wouldn't it be helpful that he could offload and defer that work to somebody else so he can focus on what he needs to do in the world? You know, but women today, they got these mindsets that it's just all twisted and backwards, that the man is actually supposed to be helping her, that the man is somehow a subservient domestic worker for her. It's really twisted. But here it says here that she is energetic and strong and a hard worker. That means she gets up and she's happy about what she's doing. She's not sluggishly doing her work, complaining about it. She's energetic and strong and a hard worker. Verse 18, it says she makes sure her dealings are profitable. Back to that business thing. She's not making bad business deal when she ain't getting nothing out of the deal. All right. Her lamp burns late into the night. So she stays working even after it gets dark. She don't go to sleep. You know, I got some more stuff to do. I want to make sure I clear these my plan for the day and finish my list. And then I'm going to go to sleep. She's a hard worker. All right. Verse 20, it says, I'm just skipping through to some of the highlighted verses that stood out to me. Verse 20, it says, she extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. All right. She's not stingy. She sees people in need. She provides for them. All right. All right. And this is particularly, you know, when we talked about this was in Israel. So it's talking about your own people in particular. So I would connect this to a woman of God in the church. You see other people in need, you will help people within your church setting. All right. She's not stingy. You know, she's a giver. She don't look down on the poor. She takes care of the poor. You know, verse 21, it says she has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. So she's already prepared for all the seasons. Everybody got their stuff ready. They got clothes. Everything is set up. Right. And her husband has entrusted her to do that. To where she don't have no need. She don't have no fear to win. Oh, what we going to do? Oh, I don't know what we going to do. She already know. They got plenty of money. Everything's taken care of. Everything is set up. All right. This is a woman who's prepared. All right. Verse 22 says she makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. I like this last part. It shows that she's still looking good. She dressing well. She know how to dress up for a man. She know how to look good. Once again, going back to the first one, we talked about glorifying your husband. A wife should glorify her husband by her dress, by how she looks, her beauty, maintaining her beauty. So she dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. And that represents royalty as well. All right. Let me jump down to verse 25. It says she is clothed with strength and dignity. This is not a ratchet ghetto female. All right. She not out and about, like I said in part two of A Good Wife, you know, being ghetto and talking and saying whatever comes to her mind. She has restraint, as he says here, clothed with strength, where she know how to restrain herself, and dignity. And she lasts without fear of the future. So she's not scared of the future because she got everything planned up. Everything is cool. Verse 26, she says, when she speaks, her words are wise and she gives instructions with kindness. So when she says something, it's a wise. You should listen. And see, there are wise women. Okay? There are wise women out here. When a woman gets to this place, this is when you can listen to her. This is the same kind of woman that could teach other women how to be good wives. You see? Okay, so how did a woman get to this place? Well, she was a submissive woman to her husband. She listened to him. She followed him. He was diligent in teaching her. He nurtured her. He raised her and trained her and loved her as Christ loved the church. See, this is a twofold thing. As a man, you got to treat your wife right. And in exchange, if she is obedient and submissive to all of that, she can then give it back to you. And then you have a recycling thing going on where everybody's being blessed. All right. So, but she says here that she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Verse 26, when she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. So when she does instruct her servants or her children, she does it with kindness. She does it with sympathetic understanding. Understanding the different temperaments of people, there's certain situations where they're at. She just doesn't bark orders. She understands the people she's dealing with. See, that's what kindness is. It's not just speaking with a nice voice. It's understanding the person and adapting according to them so that you can relay your message. And that's brilliant. It's brilliant. This is what a virtuous, noble woman of character is all about. Verse 27, it says, she carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. I like that she's on watch with everything in her household, her children, her maidservants, making sure everybody's cool. Her children come home from school, or if she's being homeschooled by another servant or something, she's making sure everything is cool. She's keeping a watchful eye. And we talked about this as men, that a man must be always checking up on his world and making sure his world is together. And so she's doing the same thing. All right. They're always making sure they're monitoring their house. A woman who does not monitor her home and just lets things go by, especially her children. That's foul, because the enemy's always trying to get at your children, and you got to be on them. You got to be on them, you know. And so a woman who is a noble of noble character is always watching her household, making sure everybody's cool and everything's going on. Right. Right. Verse 28, it says her children stand and bless her. So a woman is doing well by her children and taking care. They end up blessing her. Her husband praises her. He can't help but do it. The children can't help but do it, because she's doing right. She's doing right by her family. She's not causing them harm. She's not causing them misery. She's doing right. All right. You know, and this is, like I said, ladies, this is what you ought to aspire to be. Men, this is what you should be looking for in a woman. Some of these qualities, all right? And unfortunately, a lot of women will like to use these. They'll call themselves a Proverbs 31 woman, but never really studied this passage, and they don't act like it. It says here, her husband praises her, all right? Her children stand and bless her. This is the way it's supposed to be, all right? So a woman, you can aspire to be this. This is what you will get from your husband. And I'm not talking about one of these forced praises. I see this a lot in a narcissistic household where the woman is dominating, controlling everybody. She almost commands to be praised. You know, she commands her children, but it's out of fear. It's not real. She's making everybody miserable and scared, and it's not real, you know? So I see that sometimes in families, but it's not real. This is coming out of everything we just went over. Okay. And it goes on to say here in verse 29, this is what the husband is saying. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. All right. So this man has a woman that he said, you know what? You're better than all the other women I deal with I've ever had. There's other good women, but, you know, this is what will happen to a man when his wife is really in her holiness, when she's really on her virtue, when she's really in her noble character, when she's really in the spirit. A man will say, you know what? It's a bunch of women out there that's good, but you're the best to me. And he says here that there are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. All right. So it's just a man just praising his wife because of how great she is, you know. And then it goes on to say in verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. And so where does this come from? She fears the Lord. She has a respect for the Lord. Okay. She, all right. She want to please the Lord. She walks in the spirit of the Lord. See? She don't have a form of godliness. She does have godliness in the spirit of the Lord. And therefore, she can be this noble woman of God, this virtuous woman of God. You see? So it came from the fear of the Lord. She respects God. She reverences God. She wants to please him. She understands the scriptures, who he is, what he's about. She understands her husband, what he needs. And she goes out and she does it. And in exchange, she is praised and she becomes this great, noble woman of God. It says here, and charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. So it says here, and this is something that people have taken as to mean that the virtuous woman is not attractive. And I've seen that happen with religion. And unfortunately, I believe it at some point, but it's not true. OK, it just says here that charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But it says a woman that fears the Lord will be greatly praised. So that internal quality of a woman being a godly woman, that's what's going to last forever. That's what's very important. But a woman that's charming, she can be charming, but is she noble? Is she virtuous? Does she fit the qualifications on this list here? Don't judge a woman just strictly off of her charm, okay? Don't judge a woman based off of her beauty, because that can fade, you see? But he says to focus primarily on a woman that fears the Lord. That's what you got to be focused on. He said, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Verse 31, it says, reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. All right. So this woman is a doer. She don't just say, she does. She shows her goodness through her actions. All right. This is the noble woman of God. This is the virtuous woman. And I encourage you all to study the scripture on your own, particularly women and men. You know, just study it. Look at it again. You know, look for these qualities in the woman when you're dating, when you're courting. But the key to knowing if you got a virtuous woman, if you're dealing with one, is that your life is improving. If you're a man and you get one of these women, if you start dating her or if you start courting her, your life seems to just start going up. Little things just start adding to your life. Now, I'm not talking about walking around feeling like you're in love and all this stuff, but simply your life, your quality of life somehow starts to just get better. So that's all I got for you today. That is the virtuous woman. That is the noble woman of God. Until next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.